Hey, welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Music like poetry has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meaning that we can comprehend like definitions. News can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back the curtain and see the contribution, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, vibration. Thank you for joining us this evening to hear a different perspective of our diaspora. And now, without any further ado, our student host, Walter Pierce.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio is the best,
youth radio.
Yup. And without any further ado, I would like to get into my diamond of today. And the intro for diamonds is, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, today's diamond I have first for today will be Cheick Anta-Diop. And see, Cheick Anta-Diop is a modern champion of African identity, synagogue on December 29, 1923. At the age of 23, he journeyed to Paris, France, to continue advanced studies in physics. Within a very short time, however, he was drawn deeper and deeper into studies relating to the African origins of humanity and civilization. Becoming more and more active in the African student movement, then demanding the independence of French colonial possessions, he became convinced that only by reexamining and restoring African distorted and obscured places in Africa could the physical and psychological shackles of colonialism be lifted from our motherland and from the African people dispersed globally. His initial doctoral dissertation submitted at the University of Paris in 1951, based on the premise that Egypt of the pharaohs was an African civilization, was actually rejected. Regardless, the dissertation was published by Presence African under the title Nations Negress Et Culture in 1955 and won him an international acclaim. Two additional attempts to have his doctorate granted were turned back until 1960 when he entered his defense session with an array of sociologists, anthropologists, and historians and successfully carried his argument. After nearly a decade of titanic and Herculean effort, Diop had finally won his doctorate. In that same year, 1960, he published two of his other works, The Cultural Union of Black Africa and The Pre-Colonial Black Africa. During his student days, Cheikh Anta Diop was an avid political activist. From 1950 to 1953, he was a secretary general for RDA and helped establish the first Pan-African Student Congress in Paris in 1951. He also participated in the first World Congress of Black Writers and Artists held in Paris in 1956 and the second such congress held in Rome in 1959. Upon returning to Senegal in 1960, Dr. Diop continued his research and established a radiocarbon laboratory in Dakar. In 1966, the first World Black Festival of Art and Culture held in Dakar, Senegal's home. Senegal honored Dr. Diop and Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois as the scholars who exerted the greatest influence on Africa throughout the 20th century. In 1974, a milestone occurred in the English-speaking world when The African Origin of Civilization, Myth or Reality, was finally published. It was also in 1974 that Diop soundly reaffirmed the African origin of Pharaonic Egyptian civilization at a UNESCO-sponsored event in Cairo, Egypt. In 1981, Diop's last major work, Civilization or Barbarism, an Authentic Anthropology, was published. Dr. Diop was the director of Radiocarbon Laboratory at the Fundamental Institute of Black Africa at the University of Dakar. He sat on numerous international scientific committees and achieved recognition as one of the leading historians, Egyptianologists, and anthropologists in the world. He traveled widely and lectured and also was cited and quoted. He was regarded by many as the modern pharaoh of African studies. Cheikh Anta Diop died quietly in sleep in Dakar, Senegal, on February 7th, 1986. Thank you.
Wow. The first thing I want to do is thank you for enlightening me and the audience as well for this gigantic historian of anthropological history of Africa. Now, one of the things that I did look up as it pertained to him was the fact that he also wanted independent Africa. Did you see that anywhere in your research?
Yeah, he did. That was it's also included in one of his books that I actually have, The African Origin of Civilization, The Myth of Reality. He talks a lot about his different ideas with Africa in there. I still have to read a little more in there, but yeah, I got an idea of it.
Okay. We happen to have some elders on the line.
Not me, of course.
I'm going to see. Mr. Harris, I know you're there. I just wanted to know if you would like to chime in.
Yeah, well, first, let me say, again, thank you to Walter, because this is a very heavyweight brother, Cheikh Anta Diop. And his main focus was more that he was trying to diss the normal historic features of the things that's going on in Africa. Because you have some people now that still don't even think Egypt and Libya and them things are part of Africa anymore. They think that's part of the Middle East. They don't understand that the Middle East and everything they call that, that's still all Africa. And by the time they were building pyramids in Egypt, they were already building pyramids in Sudan, in Mali, in different parts of going up and down the Niger River before they even found the Nile. So all of this history that he was trying to bring up is that all of this is our history. This is black history. Europeans had nothing to do with any of this, even though they tried to put their name on it. But thank you for bringing that brother up, because he's one of the best.
Okay. And there you have it, Walter. Now, what we're going to do is continue on. I'm going to play a song entitled Cancel 2020. Check it out. Audience, sit back, relax, keep it locked to Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Radio.
COVID gon' still be here. Top sign still up in my rear. Baby mama got the news, now she all on her knees. Cause I didn't stop when they said freeze. I must admit, I thought this year be a blast. Every night I will be raising the glass. On tour straight, making a stash. But instead, I'm watching this race to sass. Little kid raising rifle to blast. Killed two people and the cops let them pass. It wasn't that kind of to me. That wasn't even this year. Yeah, the past year's been whack. Hunting season on everything black. Speaking of black. Lost black hands in the can. Somebody please take 20 back.
Thank you for keeping it locked and staying tuned to Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio. And now I'd like to turn it back over to our student host, Walter Pierce.
Yes, and to continue with my second diamond of today, I want to talk about another author, for today, and that author would be Toni Morrison. And see, Morrison grew up in the American Midwest in a family that possessed an intense love and appreciation for Black culture. Storytelling, songs, and folk tales were a deeply formative part of her childhood. She attended Howard University and Cornell University. After teaching at Texas Southern University for 2 years, she taught at Howard from 1967 to 1964. In 1965, Morrison became a fiction editor at Random House, where she worked for a number of years. In 1984, she began teaching writing at the State University of New York at Albany, which she left in 1989 to join the faculty of Princeton University, where she retired in 2006. Morrison's first book, The Bluest Eye, in 1970, is a novel of initiation concerning a victimized adolescent Black girl who was obsessed by white standards of beauty and longs to have blue eyes. In 1973, a second novel, Sulo, was published. It examines, among other issues, the dynamics of friendship and the expectations for conformity within the community. Song of Solomon, in 1977, is told by a male narrator in search of his identity. Its publication brought Morrison to a national attention, And Tar Baby, in 1981, set on a Caribbean island, explores conflicts of race, class, and sex. Though critically acclaimed Beloved in 1987, which won a Pulitzer Prize for fiction, is based on the true story of a runaway slave. At the point of recapture, kills her infant daughter in order to spare her life of slavery. A film adaptation of the novel was released in 1998 and starred Oprah Winfrey. In addition, Morrison wrote the libretto Margaret Gardner in 2005, an opera about the same story inspired Beloved, And of course, Toni Morrison wrote tens and more pieces on these types of topics that just dealt with the Black community. But also, she wrote something named Remembered in 2004, and this chronicles the hardships of Black students during the interrogation of the American public school system aimed at children. It uses archival photographs juxtaposed with captions speculating on the thoughts of their subjects. For that work, Morrison won the Coretta Scott King Award in 2005. The central theme of Morrison's novels is the Black American experience. In an unjust society, her characters struggle to find themselves and in their cultural identity. Her use of fantasy, her sinuous poetic style, and her rich interweaving of the mythic gave her stories great strength and texture. In 2010, Morrison was made an officer of the French Legion of Honor. 2 years later, she was awarded the U.S. President Medal of Freedom. Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am in 2019, is a documentary about her life and career. And that concludes my piece on Toni Morrison. And see, as you can see, I listed a couple of her best works that she has put out that really made her noticeable in the community and in the country. She also published many other works as well that still have the same impact. But, you know, the pieces I really named today really shape up the theme of what her writing was, and that was writing about the struggles and just the lifestyles of Black communities during her time, and the Black American experience and what they went through. So if you actually read like her novels, she's a person who doesn't fall back from using different types of languages or covering up the truth. She exposes it all. She goes really into detail into her novels and what she wants to say. And, you know, again, she doesn't shy away from what the types of words and phrases she uses in her novel to actually show and give people a visual and an idea of what the actual Black American experience was. And, yeah, that just concludes Toni Morrison. You know, there's still a lot to talk about with her as well. But for a central idea and theme for today, basically what she has had the biggest impact on is the Black American community when talking about and exposing the actual history of our nation, because that's what a lot of people today actually need. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you for sharing with us Toni Morrison. I'm going to play a little bit of Marcus Miller. And when we come back, I'd like for you to give us a definition for today's show. To Pierce, and now time for your segment of definitions.
Yes, and to read the intro for definitions, this segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And today's definition perfectly fits into the theme of today's show, and that definition is interpretation. And see, the definition of interpretation is the action of explaining the meaning of something, basically, simple. But, you know, the reason this is such, especially this word, is important for today's show is because we talked about people who wrote novels and wrote stories and essays, collegiate essays, things like that. Both of these people were writers, you know, and it was very important for them to have people interpret their information well. And what I mean by that is to actually get the right message of what they were talking about. See, for Cheikh Anta Diop, you know, his story basically, one of his biggest pieces was, of course, on Egypt and how Egypt connects with Africa. So he wanted to be able to get his audience to be able to understand why this was, why Egypt is also a part in the Egyptian culture correlates with the African culture and how Egyptians are African people. You know, because I, even when I was younger, and I don't know if this relates to anybody else, but I know with people I knew when I was younger, you know, we didn't really know Egypt was in Africa. A lot of people actually thought Egypt was either in Europe or it was interconnected. There was always some confusion with Egypt when we were younger as kids. But like as we got older, we started to understand geography and understand that Egypt is actually in Africa. And and it was even crazy how Sheik Anta Diop's like studies on Egypt was even denied. Like it was basic proof. It was proof. It was easy geology to know that Africa is in, I mean, Egypt is in Africa. And, you know, even with him trying to explain that, it was still denied, which speaks a lot to a lot of people's thinking during that time. And, you know, also going to Toni Morrison, you know, she even went even deeper with actually the black community in America, dealing really with America and its problems. You know, she wanted to use the actual phrasing and the wording and everything that she used when talking, when writing her novels, whichever the topic was. She was never going to shy away from the type of language or phrases she used. She was going to use exactly what they would use, you know, during that time period. She would not try to dumb it down or anything, but it was usually the exact type of wording, the exact phrases, everything that went on during that time period. And, you know, of course, the reason is you want people to interpret what actually happened during those time periods and not have it confused. Because, you know, sometimes if you try to dumb down information, you try to exclude something, it's going to get to a point where people are going to think like that, and they're not going to think about the reality of the situation, you know? So you got to actually put the truth in front of them, put the information in front of them, all of it, so that they can get an actual understanding of it, a full understanding, so there'll be no confusion. So, you know, that's just my definition, and that's my thinking of how interpretation deals with today's show and why it's a definition for today.
Okay. What we're going to do is take a couple of minutes to have our audience chime in, and they may have a question or a comment. And we have the line 6778. Please chime in, make a comment, or ask a question. Good evening.
Good evening. How are everybody doing? As always, a great show, great commentary. I just enjoy just listening to Facts Behind Toni Morrison, as well as Sheik Anta Diop. I guess I have a question as it relates to the what Walter indicated that we had to identify geography in order to understand where actually Egypt was. Was it difficult for you to understand that? That when the your discovery that Egypt was actually in Africa, was it hard for you just to get it, or was it just something that you had to mull over and actually had to rethink the idea that, oh, well, is it really in Africa? The fact that you saw that it was. So can you possibly elaborate on your findings, and actually how old were you? And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I believe it was probably in like middle school kind of, I probably believe. You know, I had actually, it was a friend of mine who actually came from Egypt, and he actually told me that, you know, Egypt's in Africa. You know, that shocked a lot of people because he has basically a white skin tone, as you could say, a white skin tone. So, you know, when you were young, everybody used to expect people from Africa to have like a darker skin tone, or to be, you know, as people consider black, you know, to have a dark skin tone. But, you know, I see this guy. know, he's from Africa, from Egypt, but he has a light skin tone. So that was confusing. But then once we actually started to go into, like, the geography and understanding, I think when it was in eighth grade, when we actually started to go over the history of world history, and then, you know, you see on the map, Egypt's in Africa, you know. It wasn't actually that hard to start to understand. And then it was, you started to actually understand the culture and then the what actually, how they lived during that time. Was when I believe, like, even before the 1500s, 1600s, before that, even going back to, like, 900s, I believe. And, you know, our teacher actually explained to us, and that probably took a little longer to understand, but, you know, at the end of the day, all you have to really do is just look on the map, and you'll see that Egypt was in Africa, connected to it.
Okay.
Let's get Mr. Harris to chime in. Any questions or comments as we begin to conclude our show, Mr. Harris?
No, just that there was a lot of information given out today, great information. And, you know, and Walter, I tip my hat to you, brother, because you coming up with some really good stuff lately. And, you know, and the whole idea that what she got a D up, from my point and really quick comment, is that just like you said, how people interpret things is based on their history of what they've been told. And, you know, and we've been taught everything through a European mindset. And then when somebody tries to come up against that, there's always seems to be an issue. You know, that's why a lot of his stuff was pushed aside. But thank you for bringing him up. And, you know, and if this doesn't make people try to check him out, nothing will.
Okay. Walter, I'll leave it to you to close our program for tonight.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. You know, Quest Youth Radio is the best.
The youth best youth radio.
Radio. Our show also on Saturday, 10 a.m. Make sure you be there if you want to listen to it live.
Okay. And that's it. My final words are just going to be racial injustice, philosophy, community leadership. And tonight we talked about disparity and advocates of our struggle. And thank you once again. I do believe that we did make vibrations and waves. And thank you again, as I say it, for listening to the different perspective of our diaspora. I'm